WNST, Tassel Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into 2024. You know, back when I used to write checks, it always weirded me out to have to get the new year. We don't write checks anymore, so I have to say 2024 and Happy New Year. I'm not wearing, like, you know, the tiara, the crown, the hat that I would vomit in on the coastal highway in Ocean City if I were there tonight. Nothing like that at all. It's just the purple crown of the AFC belongs to the Ravens, and they've never played. I said this last week, and you chastised me, and you're like, no, the 19 team. You're forgetting these great teams they had. Boy, oh boy, if there's an exclamation point, they put it on it as the year ended and 2023 broke down. Jacksonville, gone. San Francisco, out. And this Miami team, to be running score up at the end, really speaks to where they are and where they think they're heading later in the month, Luke Jones.
Yeah, and look, I'm not going to let you off the hook on the 2019 thing. They were a great team in 2019. They were perceived in a very similar way. The difference, however, and this is where we're going to go in the direction of talking about Lamar Jackson and the fact that he sewed up the MVP award because he's not going to play next week, or if he does, it's a series or whatever they end up doing. But he's going to be MVP for the second time in his career, first time since 2019. The difference of this football team, however, as great as they were in 2019 and as much as we were talking about them in the terms that we are talking about this team, the difference is the passing game for this team. What we saw Sunday was 2019-like in the sense of blowing out a team, boat racing a team, specifically in the second half, the way that they really poured it on. And we'll give our nod to the defense as well, considering how banged up they were and how well they played even without that. But when you see Lamar Jackson do what he did throwing the football and this group of wide receivers, which doesn't have Mark Andrews, you know, wide receivers, tight ends, lacking Mark Andrews, doing what they did, guys getting wide open, guys making one-handed catches, going for it on a fourth and long, you know, fourth and relatively long, and foregoing a Justin Tucker field goal, going for it on a fourth down situation like that, Nestor, that was 2019-esque. Only in that case, it was typically them running and going for it on a fourth and one or a fourth and two anywhere on the field because of their running game. But their ability to make plays, and we're seeing it more and more, make big plays in the passing game, which wasn't necessarily something they were doing earlier in the year. They weren't getting those big, long, explosive passing plays that they've been getting here more and more as the year's going on. I mean, that makes them extremely dangerous. And that
and
allows
it's not one
you...
receiver like it is in Correct. Other organizations.
Correct.
It really isn't. It's not about one threat. It's even Bateman's in on this. Likely's in on this. Justice Hill can be in on this out of the flat.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Literally. Yeah. And look, I mean, they have their primary ones, right? I mean, Zay Flowers, you know, set a record for receiving yards by a Ravens rookie. So that was great to see. Certainly he's been leading the way in that regard, but yeah, we see Beckham make a fantastic play after a couple quiet, you know, couple quiet weeks for him. We've seen Nelson Aguilar at different times make plays for them. I mean, you go down the list, it's a much more capable group of wide receivers. That's not the best in the league, but it's certainly good enough. No matter how you want to rank them, it's good enough. And that's something that we weren't saying about last year's group of receivers or the year before, or even 2019. We know the wide receivers other than Hollywood Brown and Willie Snead occasionally wasn't a whole lot to write home
about.
By the way,
Joe Flacco's ears are burning out in Cleveland right now when you start going back through the other wide receivers that
sure.
really were never here.
Sure. Well, at the back half, you know, he had Derek Mason, he had Anquan Boldin, the back half of Joe's Ravens run, no question about it. So, you know, imagine that. A quarterback does better and has more success through the air when he has better receivers. Lamar Jackson, another example of that. Imagine how that works. But I think everything as it pertains to now talking about, look, I couldn't care less about what's going to happen in week 18 against Pittsburgh. Doesn't matter. Just doesn't. Stay healthy, right?
This is crazy. Like when you think like 20 days, maybe yeah, 21 days, well, like literally they might play Saturday, they might play Sunday, 2 weeks from now. However, it turns out there's going to be 3 days of football, not just this weekend, then next weekend, the playoffs. Like this weekend's going to be sort of weird and light, all these weird wild card teams fighting amongst each
Sure.
other and, you know, Bills and Dolphins, there'll be all of that. But I mean, it feels biased from a fan's perspective, and we still got 6 days before we get there. It's like, all right, let's get through that. They're going to play games on Saturday this week, Saturday 4 and again at 8, and then they're going to play all day Sunday, no Monday night games. And then we're going to watch six games the following weekend, and we're going to be asking, how healthy is Marlon Humphrey? When's that Mark Andrews coming back? And how's Zeitler doing? And, you know, boy, Kyle Hamilton, they did okay without him, and we were all worried about that. Didn't look so good for a drive or two or three there early in the game. But, like, all of these injury things and the injury stories and all that, I'll just say this, and you could say it for baseball, waiting for the Orioles for a couple of days and what happened to them. Boy, it feels like a long time. And it feels like even for fans who are scolding me for thinking like throwing the ball when you're up 40 points isn't a jerk move, no matter who you are or when you do it, whatever it is, whatever your exclamation point is. But like for the fans that are foaming and frothing for this AFC Championship game, knowing there's only one team and having to now pair through next weekend and the Steelers wanting to win, needing to win, really, right? And then what happens to follow? Joe Flacco is going to play the next weekend. So's Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. They're all going to play the next weekend. You're the only one at home. You and the 49ers, only one at home. And then somebody's going to show up. And you know where I got great
Yeah.
odds? I'm going to have fun with this ad on Facebook. Is it going to be the Browns and the Bills? Is it going to be the Bills and the Chiefs? Is it going to be Jaguars and the I don't know. Dolphins, I don't know. Like it's an amazing thing looking at this path and saying the styles make the fights. The Ravens really don't care because they think they're better than any and all of these teams, and they've proven that against the Browns one time. They've lost to them and the Colts, you know, whatever those bad, awful beats were where they actually outplayed them for the first 58 minutes or so, just a little while, in all three of those games. How close to perfection this team has been, and the exclamation point. But boy, oh boy, this feels like a long time for me, for you, for us, for fans, for any gamblers, for anybody. It's just like this is a long time to be down until the next time there's a real game and it really matters. And that's going to be amped up at a whole different level. But it's exciting, but it's also perilous, right?
It's unsettling. I think that's the word that I would use there. I mean, I don't think this team's afraid of anyone at this point, nor should they be. I mean, when you look at what they did against Miami on Sunday, and I did say to you, I wasn't fully sold on Miami in terms of being this top tier contender. Why? They've beaten one team with a winning record all year, the Cowboys. They beat them in Miami, and the Cowboys have been lousy on the road all year. So I think Miami has the makings of being a good team. I think they have certain elements of their team that are phenomenal, and we saw that firsthand early on, but they have flaws. But yeah, I mean, it's a long layoff. It is. And what I was most impressed by, beyond just the performance on Sunday, which was very impressive. I mean, Lamar Jackson, 5 touchdowns, perfect passer rating. Like I said, he locked up the MVP. I
It
mean,
was an all-time Raven day
it
on
was
New
right,
Year's Eve for
but
fans. Tickets were $200 to get in. That's not happened in a long, 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 long time. 10 years probably since the Flacco era that a game, a regular season game, has had that demand on it. And I mean, it's just impressive. And
It
memorable,
was.
memorable.
It was. But I think what really impressed me as it pertains to what we're going to be talking about now, which is 3 weeks from now, you and I will mention I'm sure we'll talk about the Ravens Steelers game in the way that we talk about a preseason game, 5 or 10 minutes of what happened. You hope no one gets hurt because you can't rest all your starters. We know the reality of what the roster is and how many guys you can deactivate, but we know that they're most, certainly they're guys that are banged up. And, Ronnie Stanley, Morgan Moses, Lamar Jackson, because of that, and because he's Lamar Jackson. But
You
I
can't
think
ask for
it's
more than 3 weeks, though. I mean, literally,
sure.
for any of these
Well, I
guys.
think what's interesting, though, and this is going back to what I was getting ready to say, what I was so impressed by was John Harbaugh was asked about 2019. Lamar was asked about 2019 indirectly. Ronnie Stanley was asked about it, and he made mention of it. Patrick Ricard, I mean, we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. I mean, as much as you think of 2019 not being that long ago, because Oh, you know, it's still this Lamar era, and it's not like Lamar's been around a decade like Joe Flacco was, but there aren't a ton of guys left from that team. But every single one of those individuals, instead of saying, we're not making comparisons, or this is a totally different team, or that's ancient history, you know, being flippant about it, every single one of them said that's part of their journey, and they're not gonna take it for granted. And not that they were admitting that they did that 4 years ago, but I think it's really an acknowledgement. And this is what I'm going to be working on at BaltimorePositive.com here over the next couple of days coming out of the holiday, is this team went through a heck of a lot these last 4 years to get back to this stage, this point. And I know they were in the playoffs and they even won a playoff game in 2020, but to be the number one seed, to be the team that has to win one game to host an AFC championship in Baltimore for the first time since 1971. I mean, think about that. To be the favorite, knowing that everyone else right now, every team that's looking like that's either clinched a playoff spot or is planning to, or looks like they're going to be there. Every single one of those teams have advanced scouts right now saying what? How in the heck do we beat the Baltimore Ravens? I mean, they've got best defense in the league, for my money, at least. You know, I mean, some people say Cleveland. I'll still take the Ravens defense over them. They have the MVP of the league playing at a high, extremely high level in Lamar Jackson. They have talent at all over the place. You know, so there's all that going on. But for the Ravens, they know what happened 4 years ago, and they know what they've been through since then. I mean, the entire league, COVID, and how weird that was. Lamar's contract situation, his injuries, the injuries they had team-wide 2 years ago, and what that did to them before the season even started. They've been through a heck of a lot. So for them to be back in this position 4 years later, when even in the aftermath of that Titans loss, so many different people were trying to reassure themselves and say, well, this is a young team. They were a year ahead of schedule. Lamar's only 22 years old. They've got all these Pro Bowl players. And look, there were elements of truth to that, of course. But it's really tough to put together this kind of season and to get on this kind of roll. And it sounds funny saying this in a week where they had some guys sidelined with injuries, especially in the secondary. They've been relatively healthy, you know, and you hope you get Mark Andrews back at some point in January. You know, you hope there's some legs to that. But most of these other guys should be back, you know. I mean, Kyle Hamilton should be good to go for the divisional round and go down the list of the other guys that were missing. But, you know, as great as they look right now, you also know that the stars have to align. And you know, I mean, the Ravens know this as well as anyone in their history. When you look at what happened in 2000, what happened in 2012, the disappointments of 06 and 2011, and yes, 2019. So I was just really impressed with the maturity of, you know, the way that some of these players talked about 2019. Ronnie Stanley mentioned, hey, you know, we've got to make sure we're sharper with our fundamentals and our preparation. And I don't think he was saying that to dress down anything that happened individually. I think it was, you know, we've said it. It wasn't just a Lamar Jackson thing in 2019. They had breakdowns all over the place against the Titans in that game. So I think it's, you know, Patrick Ricard, you know, he kind of gave us a soft endorsement for them playing their, you know, the starters playing a little bit next
Luke,
week.
this is the weirdest thing is they haven't played a bad game all year.
Right. I mean,
They haven't come close to playing a bad game. Like, if I had to pinpoint the worst game they
Pittsburgh.
played all year,
Pittsburgh
okay.
offensively, they were awful. I mean, like the things they did in that game. I mean, let's face it. I've given the Browns credit that the way the Browns played in the second half and Deshaun Watson and the way that played out, they outplayed the Ravens in the second half. But that Pittsburgh game, I mean, that's, you use the word disgraceful a lot. I don't use that word very often, but that was as close as it gets to a disgraceful loss. That's how bad that loss was. But your point is well taken. I mean, they've been that good all year. And it's not that they're perfect every week, far from it, but no team's perfect every week. And I think what's interesting, you made mention, and I want to say this because it just popped in my head because you made mention of these wild card teams or even talking about these other division winners. It's, you see how the league is on a week by week basis, Nestor. And where the Ravens are right now, and look, they need to be that way 20 days from now, or however many days it's going to be when they play their next game in the divisional round. That means something. You know, not talking about week 18. They have been so good, so great. Let's call it what it is. It's been great that these playoff teams all feel they're way closer to being way closer to the middle of the pack or worse than what they are to the Ravens right now. And that's a tribute to how well the Ravens have played. I mean, we talk so much about this schedule after the bye, the Rams game and going to Jacksonville, going to San Francisco, and then coming home against Miami. They went 4-0. And I mean, they won three of those games convincingly.
They went to London, Rams, came back home, went to LA, came back home, went to San Francisco, they went to Arizona.
They've handled every single challenge. And we talked about this past week, the short week with Monday night. And look, they started out, it was shaky early on in this game. I mean, the defense especially, Miami, they can score points and they can throw the ball and Tyreek Hill's unbelievable. And that was a Miami offense that didn't even have Waddle or Raheem Mostert at running back, but the Ravens were missing some guys as well. So that's no excuse for either team. The Ravens have just been that convincing here in recent weeks. There is an unsettling feeling of how do you maintain that edge? And I don't, for anyone that's saying that that's an argument to play against Pittsburgh, for what, right? I mean, I feel like the argument for that to say, oh, well, they play a couple series, that's almost like talking about the preseason game argument where you say, okay, you go out there for a series. What are you really accomplishing there, right? It doesn't have the same tempo. You don't have the same urgency. All you're really doing is risking someone getting their ankle rolled up or
something.
Well,
the Steelers are going to want to win. So,
right, exactly. So,
I mean, Steelers are playing for real. So
yeah, so that's where I just look at that and say, okay, believe me, and I felt this way in 2019. I didn't waver from that, regardless of what happened against Tennessee. I think they should rest their key starters. They're the most important players on the team. I think should be pulled or should not play more than a series two, whatever it is. I don't put Lamar out there at all. But we go down that list. But regardless of how you approach that week 18, you still have that week off. And look, they're going to be working. It's not like Harbaugh. This isn't like the bye week where you're going to the guys go away for 6 days. You don't do that. But what do you do in terms of prep, in terms of what you do with your practices? How do you maintain that edge? And that's, this is why I do draw the comparison to 2019, because that team was on such a roll. And then, you had a couple weeks where you're shutting it down, right?
Hey, I mean, dude, I'll go Jack Torrance on John Harbaugh. You've had a long time to think about this.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and you've been thinking about it for weeks, and it's so incredibly ideal. It couldn't be any more ideal, right? It's perfect. You need the rest. You have identified these veteran players and a couple other guys, Kyle Hamilton, some other guys, Marlon Humphrey. You got to get those guys right. You're going to be playing, quote unquote, an inferior team. I'll take devil's advocate and say to you, whomever they get is going to be on a roll. Whoever they get is going to be feeling good about whoever they beat the week before and where they are, and Kansas City, Buffalo, all the teams with perceived high ceilings, even Jacksonville, perceived high ceiling, that if they show up on a balmy 61 degree day on January the 20th and they draw the 3:30 game, or maybe they draw the 8:30 game and it's 18 degrees and the wind's blowing. I mean, and that's going to change the style of the fight for me. I don't like Lamar in bad weather. I don't love Lamar in cold weather. I wouldn't love Lamar if the wind was blowing a whole lot. And that wouldn't matter if the game was in Buffalo, Kansas City, here, wherever, rain blowing sideways, freezing rain. I don't know. And that's why I'm not, but they're, prepared for all of that. They played in all of that, and they're going to be schooled on all of that. And the scout teams out there, there's only four or five possibilities of teams they actually can see. It feels like 100 at this point, but by next week we'll have all the Houstons and Indianapolises and all those teams sorted out. But if they see a wicked hot Flacco who went down to Jacksonville and threw four touchdowns and they beat Jacksonville 42-14 or something, that's who you're going to see. You're going to see a winning team, not a backed up team. And you're going to see a team that's playing. I don't know what that means. I mean, look at Chubb getting hurt at the end for the Dolphins and what that could mean for them with what they have going on. And they have to play Buffalo. I don't know who's going to navigate this, but I feel like whoever navigates it, it's going to be, it's going to be a real football game here, and they're not going to care much about the Ravens record.
Although they have to figure out how to beat the Ravens. So, this is how it works. It's January, right? Nothing's assured. You know, nothing's guaranteed. I mean, we keep using the 2019 example. There are plenty of examples that you can look at of teams that looked unbeatable and then someone punches them in the mouth in the divisional round, or they lose in the AFC championship game. So, I mean, I hesitate to say all the teams are good in January, because I don't think that's true anymore as we've expanded to a third wild card. And you kind of look at the records of those teams that are battling it out for the seventh seed in either conference, quite frankly. But yeah, I mean, how are they going to maintain their edge? You made mention of the weather. I mean, look, I'll disagree with you. I love Lamar in any setting, the way he's playing of late. I mean, the way he's played most of the year, but I would say especially over the last 6 weeks or so, where he's just, it feels like his, and I say this not to bash how he was before, because I think this is the maturation of any young quarterback, quite frankly, in today's game, other than Patrick Mahomes, who, you know, isn't having his best season. Let's call a spade a spade. But I just feel like the heartbeat, you know, the heart rate has slowed down for him in those settings where he used to be a little more jumpy, right? And again, I think I could say the same about Josh Allen in settings, you know, like that, and, you know, go down the list.
He also hasn't been down 20-3 at halftime this year.
But
like,
you
know what I mean? Like,
right, but no quarterback does well in those settings. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I think for as much as we talked about that, and I think that was a more of a talking point in 19 and under Greg Roman, just because they weren't a pass first operation, but no offense does well in that. But I'll say this much: heaven forbid if they find themselves maybe not down 20-3, but let's say they're down 13.
Well, that would happen with a block kick, a block punt, two picks, a fumble, ball goes in. I mean, but that's how that happens. And that's how the ish hits the fan at home and the crowd gets quiet. And we all look up and say, all right, how are you getting in the phone booth now? You hope that doesn't happen, right? That's total worst case scenario.
Of course.
But to your point, in 19, that happened. And they were incapable of getting up from that. And I don't think that they would be incapable of getting up from that, even if all those things conspired and they didn't make fourth and one and the ball got popped free or they got a bad call, which is certainly possible.
Yeah, I mean, they're better. I feel like this team all the way around is better equipped to handle those types of things happening. Now, you don't want those things to happen. Let's be very clear. Either side of the ball, you don't want to have weird things happen. You mentioned the weather. You don't want bad weather in general. It's not a Lamar thing or not a Josh Allen. Like, weird things happen when the conditions are like that, when it's windy, when it's rainy, you know, when it's muddy, you know. So, but it can happen in January. The good thing is this team, because of their balance, because of how well-rounded they are, you know, if they have their relative weaknesses. We've talked about the fact that their run defense is a little bit softer than their pass defense. And you look what Devon Achane did, which, by the way, I mean, he's their Keaton Mitchell, right? I mean, he's really, really talented player, you know, over 100 yards. But, you know, I mean, this is a team that even its weaknesses, again, relatively speaking, you don't feel that it's going to be their undoing. You know, again, you have to go out and do it. And it's going to be a challenge. It's a good challenge. Just like we said this with the Orioles, you know, talking about those 5 days. Yeah, it was a challenge.
Hey, the Orioles, they're going to play.
But just
it's 2024. It's a new season.
It is. But the whole thing with, you know, this first round bye, I mean, you don't have to deal with the wild card round in the same way that the Orioles didn't have to play a best out of three.
This
so as
is
much as
so
it,
perfect. I just hope they don't screw it up.
Right.
I mean, that's it. And you got 20 days to sit on it. We're going to talk. By the way, I am going to, like, break out the whole Rolodex of all the Radio Row people, all the media people, all the Lamar haters, lovers, bashers, believers. Every person I know is going to appear here in the next 3 weeks, because that's what we got. Like, literally, just sitting around and waiting on all of this. And, I you know, for me, with all of it, you mentioned the weather. And this is where I would get flippant and say, look, if you're trying to find ways to beat the Ravens, like, literally, what's going to eliminate the Ravens on one of these two games, right? What's going to do that? Mistakes, block kicks, fumbles, intercept. That's what's going to do it. I mean, I don't think it's going to be lack of execution, or the offense just fails, or they're not good at this, or they're not good at that, or the defense is going to get slobber knocked and have somebody put 59 on them. You know, at some point here in a couple of weeks, or that Tucker's going to miss a kick, or that any of that. I think the thing that beats them First thing that beats them is really bad weather lowers the bar for what is possible. So good weather is something, if you're a Ravens fan, root for that. That's all I'm saying. Like, what can derail this? I'm trying to figure this out. I've just watched them play 16 flawless, mainly football games for the most part. A couple mistakes here and there, and they paid for the mistakes they made against Cleveland, against Indianapolis, against Pittsburgh. They paid for the mistakes in the end in close games. But most of these weeks haven't been close. And the level of talent hasn't been close, especially once they got healthier, right? Like once they made their, they navigated Dobbins not being there and they got through the Marlon Humphrey and then they lost Andrews and they had to navigate that. But this team has navigated, they're not navigating stuff, dude. They're winning by 40 points. I mean, it's insane. And they're running the score up. It's, I mean, like, this is a different level of how good they've been and what the expectation is that they better at least play a championship game here. You know what I mean? This better not lose Joe Flacco or Josh Allen. You know what I mean? Like, literally. I mean, I don't think they could lose to Trevor Lawrence or, I mean, the Colts. I mean, God, you know, some weird thing happens and Gardner Minshew beats the Chiefs. And we, like, I wouldn't be afraid of losing to the, I mean, I would have lost to the Colts, but I'm much more afraid of big quarterbacks, and I'm much more afraid of bad weather. That's how I feel about their chances. I think that's the thing that screws them up, or some awful injury that might happen beginning of the game. But they don't make a lot of mistakes. They don't kick the ball around. They don't turn the ball over. They haven't played a bad game all year, a really bad game all year. You went so far on Pittsburgh and call it disgraceful. I thought at that point they were still relatively depleted and trying to figure out. I didn't think they were capable of beating teams by 40 points for a month straight at will in the toughest part of the schedule on the road during the holidays. But without Kyle Hamilton, you know, on and on and on and on and on, there's nothing they've done that leads me to believe they're not going to win the Super Bowl. I'm trying to figure out what could screw it up.
Well, because you have to play the games. I mean, it's that simple. They're the favorite. They should be the favorite. I'm going to pick them to win every game they play the rest of the way, other than I don't really care about week 18 and maybe the Steelers beat them when, you know, Tyler Huntley's presumably playing or maybe Josh Johnson even, you know, who might not even play Huntley in that game because you have four quarterbacks on your 53-man roster right now. But, I mean, look, I mean, again, you got to play the games and you got to play clean football. To your point, they've done a really good job taking care of the ball. You know, Gus Edwards has the fumble on Sunday and then they pick a pass off right after that. I mean, so their defense takes the ball away. So, you know, they're really, really, really good. And, you know, we sound like a broken record saying this every week, but that's the kind of role they've gotten on. So, you know, just to, you know, 'cause you made mention of the Pittsburgh game. For me, when I said that, that was way more that me thinking very little of the Steelers, more so than that I thought the Ravens, you know, should blow them out. But anyway, I watched that game from the Orioles, you know, from the Camden Yards press box. That's how long ago it's been. You know, they've had one loss since that day, you know, so it just speaks to the role they've been on. But, you know, you got to stay sharp. You want to get these guys healthy. Your advanced scouts go to work and they're looking at it and they'll have a little more clarity after next week to at least say, okay, these are the wild card matchups. You know you're not going to play the number two seed, right? You know, you can eliminate certain teams, but hey, you got to watch out for these possibilities. So, you know, you go to work and you try to stay as sharp as you can. You get as healthy as you can. I think, you know, other than guys that are on IR right now, I think the guys that missed Sunday's game, talking about Hamilton, Brandon Stevens, Kevin Zeitler, they should be fine. Certainly by divisional round weekend. So I think they're going to be just about 100%. You know, again, you can't rest everyone in week 18. So you
other
hold
than
your
Mark
breath a little
Andrews,
bit.
They should have a full compliment
whenever
the big game happens.
You
right?
would think. And fully acknowledging that Ronnie Stanley and Morgan Moses have both been playing with long-term injuries. We know Marcus Williams hurt his pec, what, week one? He's been playing with that all year long. So you have that. You're
I
not going to
Patrick
be,
Queen's got something going with his shoulder, too.
The shoulder, definitely. No question about it. I would try. Again, you can't rest everybody. You have a 53-man roster, and you could elevate a couple guys from the practice squad. But even some of those guys that will be active on Sunday, you'll try to
Dude, where the secondary was in the second half against the Dolphins on Sunday, even up 30 points, the guys that were out there playing, that's going to be who's playing, yeah. And that's the best they got. And they don't there's no taxi squad. They'd be calling guys up from Rochester. I don't know what to say. I mean, like, they're literally at the end of the roster of the secondary, right?
Well, I mean, they were on Sunday, but, you know, you can elevate three guys. You know, you're hoping some guys, as far as some of the backup guys that got nicked up, you're hoping that they're good to go for Sunday.
You're not going to play Marlon Humphrey Sunday. You're probably not going to play Hamilton Sunday, right? Like,
so, you wouldn't think so.
I don't know if Roquan's going to play or Patrick Queen with the like. So I'm just going through the names here. Matabike, you don't want him out there. You know, I don't know if I want Linderbaum. I'm just going through names and saying I don't want these.
Guys I hear you, there. But you can't. But you can't rest everybody. Like, it doesn't work that way. You know what I mean? Like, you can
I
rest.
Want to.
You can Oh, I know. I hear you on that. But you can deactivate seven guys. Presumably, we've mentioned a few of them are going to be inactive because they're hurt. You would assume Lamar's deactivated. You would assume at least one of Stanley and Moses are deactivated. But, you know, you can't – you also can't just play 22 guys and then hope that you're going to get through a game that way. So you are going to have to play some guys. But they'll be judicious with that. And there'll be some guys that will be active but might play a series or two, and then they are on the sideline with no thoughts of going back in unless two guys get hurt, you know. So that's part of it. But
big
going
game
back
for Tylan Wallace to run around and play wide receiver is what
yeah,
I think.
But, well, no doubt. Laquon Treadwell, who was just promoted to the 53-man roster, he will see some time at wide receiver for the Ravens. Speaking of that, Zay Flowers is another guy that I would try to really limit because he's been banged up. He had the calf this week. He had the foot last week. He's played, and he's played well, but he's been banged up. You know, we always think of the veteran players. We think of the guys that have obvious injuries to where they miss time. But keep in mind, the rookie wall, it's a thing. Now, sometimes it's more exaggerated than it is in reality, but I've talked to so many rookie players, or a lot of times second year players, because they don't admit it at the time, but they say, yeah, at the end of my rookie year, I was exhausted. I've never played that long in my life.
Two seasons, especially, yeah. And I want to be a smart ass here completely, because as I've been, you know, for last week watching all these tidy bowls all play and everybody's opt out.
The Pop-Tarts
like,
bowl.
You guys play eight games and you're going to opt out of the one. I mean, if you play four full years of college football, you get to play in 40 total games in your whole – you do all of this weights. It's why you lift all them weights and, you know, put your body at risk and all this stuff, trying to go to class, trying to get a scholarship, trying to show off for everybody, all that. You get to play 40 times and you get to play in a bowl game and you opt out. Like, But I want everybody to opt out of this Pittsburgh game this week. Luke, I tell you what, man, it's New Year's. You got things. I got things. We got things. Everything's at Baltimore Positive. Crab Cake Tour's out on the road. We're doing the biggest, bestest, is that a word? Radio Row week ever. So just write that down. February 5th, Nestor promised the greatest Radio Row week ever. And he's done some pretty good Radio Row weeks. Yes. So I'm going to have some big, big doings in 2024. Luke, we made it through another year. How about that? And we made it through a year. And we've lived long enough, and your father and my father, who are no longer here, would appreciate a year when the Baltimore Orioles won their division and the Baltimore Ravens won their division. We'll talk about the Terps or any, right? Let's leave it at that. Just for what we have, the Ravens and the Orioles. You know, you got to go back 69 and you know, like get away back in the day to be looking back at years where the sports prosperity, we even got the least done, I think.
But think about it. Orioles had I know the Texas Rangers won the World Series, but Orioles had the best record in the American League. Ravens finished with the best record
in the
AFC.
You better not be saying that about the Ravens, like the 30th of January. Best record, but...
You said it. You made mention that they better at least get to the AFC Championship. This will be my final thought. I'm going a step further. If they don't at least get to the Super Bowl, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow with how well this team is playing right now. Talking about this at New Year's, a lot can happen. They have to play the games. There are going to be some other teams, not all of them in the AFC, but I think there are at least a couple other very compelling teams in this tournament. The Ravens will be favored, as they should be, but they've got to go out and do it. But especially 4 years later, being back in this position, number one seed, home field advantage, chance to play in the AFC Championship, knowing it's in Baltimore if you get to the AFC Championship. Boy, if they're not playing in Vegas, it's going to be a tough one to swallow. But I'll say it right now, and I already said it. I'm picking them to win every game the rest of the way. So if you're asking my Super Bowl pick, there it is. Week 17, Luke Jones is picking the Ravens to win the Super Bowl. I know I'm going out on a big limb saying that. I get it.
I wish I had one of those Happy New Year things to go Happy New Year with you. But Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to everybody in the audience out there. The Maryland Lottery, of course, sponsoring everything we're doing. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. Call them. Order some windows while it's cold outside. You'll be very appreciative that you did, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare, as we go into the new year with more wise conversations and certainly more good football ahead, as the Ravens of 2023 have done something that really no other team has done. He'll talk about 19-6 and other places, but really even put Luke out on the Super Bowl or bus train. So we'll have plenty of time to talk about that as the clock strikes midnight and we get into 2024. I am Nestor. He is Luke. Luke's going to be out in Owings Mills for the next 3 weeks, watching the blades of grass grow as they await.
It's pretty good.
All right, I left you on a funny note. So that's my last inside joke for 2023. I'm back for more. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, playing all the greatest hits. We are Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.